Welcome back to the show. Tyler Dreiling, Mitch Fortner with you. We'll have Kindred Wiesman of the K-State women's basketball team in studio with us at 5:10. We'll also have Kellis Robinette of the Wichita Eagle and Kansas City Star at 5:25. In addition, in that second hour, the impact on Bruce Weber's future with the win last night against Wake Forest in Dayton. Coming up later this hour, some breaking news from the coaching carousel as the University of Missouri has its next coach, and I will just say a much bigger contract than I would have expected for who they are bringing in. Some good news on Salvador Perez as well at the end of this hour. But we're going to stick with K-State basketball, knocking off Wake Forest in the first four in Dayton last night. Talked already about how things transpired in this game, and I think that there was a lot of good, a lot of reason to feel good if you're a K-State fan with how that game played out, especially down the stretch. But what is the, I mean, where does K-State go from here? Because if you are a K-State fan that has followed this basketball team, not just through the course of Bruce Weber's tenure at K-State, but going back to Frank Martin and Bob Huggins, you understand that winning the play-in game and getting into the round of 64 is not what you're setting your sights on. You, at the very least, need to be a program that feels like you belong in the round of 32 or potentially in the Sweet 16 to really be where you want to be. I mean, that's just where K-State, I think, should aspire to be at the very least. And so if you're K-State, you got to be thinking, that was great. That was fun. It's been a long time coming that we've been able to experience a win in the NCAA tournament. But we need to do more. And I think there are reasons to believe that K-State can do more when they take on Cincinnati in Sacramento on Friday night. And there are reasons to believe that K-State may be one and done in the NCAA tournament. But I want to get into both of those reasons. And if you want to voice your own opinion, 537-1350, 866-776-1350, or you can give us a tweet at the game KMAN. Let's start with why K-State can make a run. First of all, the first four has done a pretty nice job at setting teams up to get into the round of 32. There has been a first four team that has made it to the round of 32 every year since it started in 2011. And I do think there does appear to be an advantage, at least for some teams, to not having as much time off as normal teams do. Obviously, at this point in the season, teams are tired and you need a few days off before the NCAA tournament. But when that gets to 5 or 6 or 7 days, something like that, that can sometimes be too much. I think you could maybe make the case that K-State was in that position when they lost to LaSalle after the Big 12 championship season. LaSalle was a team that played in the first four, had that experience under their belt of what an NCAA tournament atmosphere was like. They came in to Sprint Center in KC and beat a K-State team that had not played in a little while. Maybe you could say the same thing with what Cincinnati has had to do. They lose to SMU in the American Athletic Conference tournament and now have had to wait around a little bit. Now they are flying out to Sacramento where they're going to wait around for a couple days before they face K-State. So I think that that's a benefit. Number two, it's pretty hard to argue that K-State is one of the nation's hotter teams right now. They're 4-1 over their last five games. And we all know that that one loss was a game that K-State actually played pretty good basketball. They did not play well in the final 6 or 7 minutes. But outside of that, it was pretty good basketball, and it was against a very good team. And that brings me to my next point. Cincinnati is solid, but they are not as good as Baylor. They are not as good as West Virginia, in my opinion. K-State has beat teams this season that are better than Cincinnati. And Cincinnati, in its own right, has almost had a little bit of a Bruce Weber mentality going into this game against K-State. Mick Cronin, their head coach, was publicly upset that Cincinnati got, quote-unquote, shipped out to the West Coast for this regional. And that does sound a little bit like some things that we have heard from Bruce Weber under the excuses tab over the course of the last few seasons. He has constantly made kind of strange comments that just, they don't play well with the fans. They sound like a woe is me mentality. Again, Bruce Weber has been a totally different guy over the last five games, but I'm just talking about the last few seasons. And Mick Cronin kind of sounds like that when he says, you know, we were underserved by getting shipped out to the West Coast. So those are some of the reasons that I think the K-State can make a run. But there are some pieces of evidence that would indicate the contrary. Number one, even though it's probably a net positive to play in the first four and then have the 2 days off, like I just mentioned, going from Dayton to Sacramento isn't an easy trip. It's kind of a whirlwind that you're going through, especially for a team that was the last team into the tournament. They had just 48 hours to get from Manhattan to Dayton and then play that game, and now they're going to be on the way to Sacramento. I mean, that's just a lot to take in for, you know, 19, 20, 21-year-old players. So that's one reason. The bigger one for me, I think this is the biggest reason that K-State may struggle in this game, and again, we'll have a couple days to break it down further, but having to go from preparing for Wake Forest to preparing for Cincinnati is very, very difficult because the teams are polar opposites of each other. Wake Forest was a top 10 offensive team. We mentioned yesterday, number 8 in KenPom's ratings in offensive efficiency. Cincinnati is ranked number 4 in the country in points allowed per game at 60.5. They are a defensive team. They are a physical team. If you want to just talk about, I mean, if I asked you which team is the opposite of Wake Forest, Cincinnati would be in that conversation. So having to make that transition, preparing for Wake's style of basketball, then preparing for Cincinnati, that is a difficult ask for any coaching staff. And K-State's coaching staff, Bruce Weber and his assistants, are going to have some pretty short nights over the next couple of days as they prepare for this game.
First of all, I'd like to congratulate you on having your evidence up front and, you know, ready to go. If you were asked for an
for
extension,
being prepared.
Yeah, for if you were asked me for an extension or something, I would have to say no on that. But I think it was well thought out. That was well thought out. I'm going to go with the now. I'm going to kind of be, even though we don't have three people here, I'll
right.
be kind of the tiebreaker between the two. I do like K-State's chances to go on a run, and I mean beat Cincinnati. First of all, there's usually an 11 that upsets a 6. Mm-hmm. That's not uncommon. K-State has played recently. Cincinnati has sat around for a while.
And for the record, I just want to point out, I did see an early computer simulation on this game had Cincinnati as a 60-40 favorite. So that's kind of where things are looking right now, which isn't a bad percentage if you're an 11 seed trying to upset a 6.
Well, K-State's been an underdog. I mean, have they not? It's nothing to worry about there. Now, when it comes to comparing Cincinnati, I've seen a lot of comparisons between Cincinnati and Baylor, the way the two teams play.
I wouldn't be, you know, since we are only talking about being less than 24 hours removed since K-State beat Wake Forest, I haven't looked a ton into Cincinnati yet. I would guess that Cincinnati doesn't have the length that Wake Forest
right.
does, but they are definitely, or excuse me,
Baylor.
That Baylor does, but they are definitely going to be physical in that, or cut from that same cloth in how they believe that they are going to take up your space, you're not going to take up their space.
Well, and I'm getting these comparisons from the, you know, the talking heads on
right.
all the discussion about the NCAA tournament. Mm-hmm. If that's true, I mean, I don't mind K-State's chances because I know Cincinnati is not as good as Baylor, and I mean, K-State's done pretty well as of late against the Baylor Bears. They've been kind of close games, of course, but they've been low scoring. That's K-State's game. If K-State can keep it a low scoring game, I like the Cats' chances. And honestly, like I just kind of agree with you when you say K-State's kind of playing their best basketball right now. They're one of the more hotter teams in the country when it comes to, you know, they've won 4 of their last 5 games. They've beaten some good competition, and another reason here, what a weird environment Dayton, Ohio is.
True.
Well, Sacramento is going to be a very weird environment, too.
Yeah.
I think that plays in K-State's favor.
The fans actually, according to Kellis Robinette, I'll ask him about it in the second hour, but the fans in Dayton have embraced the first four, and they actually turn out. And, you know, maybe they don't have a real extreme, like, team that they support, You know, I'm just talking about, like, when they go to the game, it's not like they're going to go out and buy K-State gear and, like, root passionately and get loud for K-State. But there are a lot of fans there that enjoy seeing good basketball. And I thought that K-State and Wake Forest was good basketball last night. There were some good highlight plays. Want to throw in a couple more little tidbits for why I'm skeptical of K-State making a run. One of them, and we just talked about it a little bit, but the physicality of Cincinnati. How does that play with the officials? K-State's... K-State last night played in a game with officials that were not letting a lot of contact go unnoticed. And that is generally in contrast to what we saw with the Big 12 schedule. I think the Big 12 officials, while we've had a lot of conversations about the quality of the officiating, generally they let teams be pretty physical. That did not happen last night. How physical are the refs going to let them be in this game? That's something that K-State is going to have to adjust to just as much as Cincinnati's defense. And the final point is that even if K-State wins this game, if you're talking about making a run, I'm putting that in quotes, making a run, you're probably not going to talk about just getting to the round of 32. You're talking about the Sweet 16. If, and again, a big if K-State beats Cincinnati, you are probably looking at UCLA in the next game. And guess what? That is, once again, that complete reversal of how you're going to prepare, because UCLA is one of the very few teams in the country that are actually better offensively than Wake Forest. So you're going to have to go from Cincinnati to UCLA, and that is, again, a lot to ask K-State's players and K-State's coaching staff.
So I want to answer that your question about how the referees are going to blow the whistles in that game. I'm going to answer that question with a clip from Chris Lowry about a comment about how they handled foul trouble yesterday.
We just told our kids to just lock in and don't worry about officiating. Just lock in and keep playing hard and adjust. And anytime guys we adjusted to how the whistle was blown, especially in the second half. But they're still good offensive. They still put you in the bind where you either foul them or you got to just let them score.
Well, I think that he makes some good points there. I thought that in the second half you could start to see some physical frustration from K-State over the way some of those calls were going, but they did enough, and they started to draw up fouls late in the game when it really mattered and get to the free throw line.
I think DJ Johnson plays better when a bad foul was called on DJ, because he gets angry. And he plays even harder. He plays even stronger. I don't like bad calls being bad fouls being called, but DJ responds.
Well, I'll say this: Cincinnati is not a team that you want to face if you're going to have 15 fouls in the first half and all of your post players, literally all of your post players, be in pretty heavy foul trouble. That would be a recipe for disaster for K-State, in my opinion, because Cincinnati is going to try to post you up, and they're going to try to get inside, get points in the paint. And if you are having to take DJ Johnson out for extended minutes or Dean Wade out for extended minutes, Isaiah Maurice, I don't know who you're going to put out there that's going to be able to hold their ground inside. So that's a concern, but we'll see how the game gets called. It could be very different.
Yesterday was just a weird game in general, though, because K-State, when they're actually – not getting the fouls called in on them early in the second half, and Wake Forest was, that just happens to be when the game turned into a shooting contest and K-State couldn't get a break. And I mean, they would build a lead, but then Wake Forest would come back. It was actually the type of game that probably should have beat K-State, and they didn't let that beat them.
Yeah, because I think that that goes back to the mental toughness thing. K-State was in a game that in their minds they probably thought the entire time that they should be ahead by 15 or 20. And that's easy to frustrate you. And you look at the scoreboard and there's 5 minutes left and it's a 2-point game. And you don't know if you have enough to actually finish it off. But this was not the same K-State team that we have seen for a lot of Bruce Weber's tenure at K-State. They were up to the challenge and finished the game extremely strong. A lot more to get into with K-State basketball through the course of the rest of the show. Kellis Robinette will join us in the second hour to give us his perspective. He was in Dayton last night and he's currently on the way to Sacramento. The impact of the game, or the impact of the win on Bruce Weber's future with the program. We'll be joined by K-State women's basketball player Kindred Wiesman at 5:10. But when we come back, the coaching carousel is starting to fire up, and it starts with a school about a four-hour drive to our east. Mizzou has a new coach. Who is it, and how crazy is the contract? That's coming up next on The Game.